Hi, my name is Sam Dosa, and my podcast called Chai with Sam Dosa. I invite guests from diverse backgrounds to have a heart-centered conversation with them about the journey of success and failure in their life or business. So join in for a more thought-provoking conversation, which you can listen and take some great lesson from it. Thank you. Bye for now. Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. This is your host. On my podcast, I bring people from diverse backgrounds, from different countries, to share their wisdom and their knowledge. And today I have an amazing guest. His name is John Freeman, and he called himself expert guide to your connected reality. That's one of the things. He is a multifaceted explorer of human futures, a consultant, a trainer, a mentor in personal and organizational development, an author on the science of the new reality. Well, his special interest in connecting people in their psyche, creative or create your reality, power of prayer, ability which is made possible through his connection to the source, which is called a development program he designed. So let's, without any delay, I would like to welcome John Freeman to my podcast, Chai with Sam Dosa. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Sam. Lovely to be here.
Fantastic, fantastic. So, well, let's dive in, and I would like you to share your journey and your purpose. Who is John Freeman? And so my audience will know.
Right. Well, my journey, I think, at least in terms of what's particularly relevant to this conversation, it began about 35 years ago. I was raised as a materialist, skeptic, kind of agnostic, scientific mindset. And then about 35 years ago, I went on a training which I thought was going to be about things like stress release and visualization. And it turned out to be more than that. And to make the story as short as possible, at the end of the training, there's a process that participants get taken into where they are using the techniques that they've learned to find out what the health condition is that applies to somebody of whom they've only been given the name and location. So you know nothing about this person. And I was using the techniques that had been recommended. And there was a certain point at which I kind of used the one where you put the person's head on, like as if they were a motorcycle helmet. So you imagine being inside them. And I'd been getting nothing, no information up to that point. And suddenly I had a complete hit of a sensation where I wanted to tilt my head to the left and I wanted to screw up my face. And I had the notion that there was a pain in the back of my head. And I said, does this person have a brain tumor? Which turned out to be what was on the card. And that for me was just, that was a jaw-dropping event. I had no expectation of being able to do anything that was intuitive or psychic. And more than that, it was it just tore up my reality, because being somebody brought up with a scientific mindset, I had just done something which all the science I'd been trained in said, you can't do that. That's not possible. So in the background to my kind of regular job, which was back then in IT and stayed in IT for quite a long time, and then moved into organizational development and some of the things that you've referred to. I went on a continuous journey of exploration because I had, just for my own benefit, I had to know, so what is the science? How does this world really work? If what I've been told is not accurate, what's missing? So that led to a book which I published 7 years ago now called The Science of Possibility, which took all the things that I'd spent 2.5 decades learning and experiencing and experimenting with and produced a kind of a way of seeing the world which didn't make science wrong, but also made it possible to kind of dovetail in all the things that people have been experiencing for centuries or ever since human beings have been saying anything about the kind of world, that it made all of that fit together in a way which satisfied me. So, I mean, I wrote the book. I mean, it took me several different versions of the book before I got to publication because I was trying to satisfy myself. And then I got to the point where I thought, okay, this might actually be useful for other people. So that's my journey.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. It pops up a question here is, are we all psyche? Do we already have this built-in gift within us or not? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. Basically, we all have that capability. I see it as our birthright. So it's a bit like playing the piano in the sense that some people have a gift for playing the piano. So some people will just do that more naturally than others, and some might practice and they'll never really get very far, you know, they'll get to grade 3 or 4, but we can all do it. And so the problem that we have to deal with is the fact that, just like me in a way, you know, I was told that this is impossible, so we believe it's impossible, we don't even try. Lots of people I think who are naturally inclined to be psychic, they get told as children, oh, you know, you're making that up, or don't tell lies. You know, they've just had an experience as a sort of feeling that something is going wrong with grandma, or of detecting something in their environment that is of a spiritual nature, and they get shut down and they get told not to do that. And so in varying degrees, we either never awaken the ability, or if it awakens, we get it closed down.
Are we get, because the person who is trying to tell you off, do you think they might have an experience themselves, something which they are afraid of, and they don't want you to experience the same thing? Because certain degree, if something happened to me, as my mom experienced something that she was walking by and she had a slap, because within our culture, when somebody is praying, and if you're praying and you're passing by on the sort of a route, you might not, you're supposed to avoid it. But as a human, we don't see that, those sort of things. So she experienced it and she told us, and we felt, oh my God, really? And we felt a little bit, fearful of those things. So we were avoiding those areas and walking by with those areas next time. So do you think because people have experienced those things themselves, they want you not to experience those things, that they want to shut it down, those sort of things?
I would totally accept that there are cases where that kind of thing happens. Yes, completely.
So yes. Have you watched the movie Sixth Sense?
Yes.
So what do you...
A while back, but yes, I can recall it.
So is that something completely resonate with this whole scenarios where people go through and people feel it? And sometimes exactly you are completely, and I completely agree with you. We feel it, the presence of somebody around us, because we are not being given that sort of we are not being given that sort of a boost in our own journeys. We avoid those things because universe is showing a lot of signs to us. And this is the way towards it. And now is more coming up in this society, acknowledging it, that there is a presence. There is a presence of universal light, or there is a presence of the angels around you. Before that, everybody was looking at us like, what sort of discussion you are having. We don't believe those sort of things, correct?
Yes. I mean, there are so many different kind of pathways that people go on. And of course, before this more kind of modern era of awareness, where there's lots of stuff that we might kind of describe as New Age, for a very long time, people were simply religious. You know, they had a perception, you know, they would be raised in a tradition, and they would have a view of what the realm of the divine looked like, which might be kind of, you know, one God, or it might be multiple God figures, or it might be all sorts of things. And each religion or each culture would have its own version of what does that look like. So I think what's happening now, or in more recent years, is that there's more of a sense of certainly that there isn't just one way of looking at the divine. Some people say that, you know, if it's a bit like a finger pointing at the moon, if the moon is the divine, the finger is the way that you point, and people have different fingers pointing from different places. But there's a wider perspective that kind of is more open, I think, than has been before, to the possibility of having the kinds of experience that I'm talking about, and to learning that you might actually be able to develop that sense. I mean, I even have a product which I'm just kind of putting out into the business space for business people in a business context to learn how to be more intuitive, just in a much more kind of mundane sense of, you know, we all know we can recognize the patterns that we don't see consciously, but that we have a sense, you know, that there are things that we know, but we don't know that we know them, and we don't know how we know them. But nevertheless, we have that sense of, I can detect this. So there's equally a quite mundane version of this, of people developing their gut feel and their ability to read situations and their ability to be sensitive to other people who might be, you know, colleagues or people they're having a negotiation with, just opening up for more than the standard 5 seconds. Because actually, when you get into what's possible in the intuitive realm, you discover that you have a large number of senses. I don't even know how to kind of put a number on that, but it's more than five. So all of these things, I mean, the question you're asking is, it's a, in a way, there are so many possible answers that are appropriate to each individual and their background, and even the way that they receive information. You know, one of the things about something like The Sixth Sense, or all movies which are about these special capabilities, is you can't make a movie based on those being subtle. You have to have something which is really quite kind of dramatic. But the reality is that it is subtle, that the signals you're picking up are often not easy to read. And so people are presented with the notion that, you know, that when you are being psychic, that you're going to see pictures. Well, some people do. Maybe about a third of people will get their information, they will get it visually. But some people will just have an idea that comes from nowhere. Some people will kind of hear clues. Some people will pick up on something that's in the environment and they'll kind of notice it, and they won't necessarily know why they're noticing it. But once you develop the inner process, gradually more and more accustomed to the fact that, oh, I'm noticing this for a reason. So what's going on here?
I think it's quite relate to a lot of things happening in the society or within our own journeys. And again, because we are so colluded with our own journeys, we forget the signs and everything. And you will sometimes contemplate all those things that, oh yeah, I remember that sort of thought came into my mind, but I did not envisage those things at that time. And as you says, with the people who has businesses or something like that, they are also colluded into so many things going on. Even they are receiving so many messages, they are not putting attention to those messages until they settle down and have some time to themselves to contemplate. And that's why most of the time I talk about mindfulness. You know, leaders has to sit in mindfulness to calm their head, calm their brain down and mind down to contemplate something completely out of that, because it's the matter of giving some space to your brain, because our brain contains so much toxic. If you don't have enough sleep, your toxic will increase more and more in your body. You can imagine it will affect your entire circular system. Your circulatory system will be damaged on that as well. Then all your organs started to get damaged as well. So you can imagine if you are not having enough sleep, you are detrimental to your own life and as well as anybody else around you, because you are so fragile, you are so burnt out in your own ways, you won't be able to receive those things which you are supposed to receive when you calm yourself down and contemplate and receive. Because as we said, you know, people have that ability to receive a lot of things, but they are not looking at the right thing, or they are not trying to focus on things as they go forward in their life and their businesses.
Yes, I mean, that's also, and I think at the same time, people may well, I suspect there's a lot of people who've had the experience that they've been in a position where they needed to make some kind of choice in the moment. And somewhere within, they've known that this isn't the way to go. They've had a hesitation, but what happens is that our conscious mind, our training kicks in, and we discount that thought. And it's only, you know, 3 months, 6 months later, we think, oh, I should have paid attention to what I was feeling. I mean, I certainly know that I have done that a number of times in the past, and sometimes even relatively recently, although I should know a great deal better. And it's very easy to be in the position, because of the strength of our conscious training, our cognitive training, mm-hmm. to distrust that which is not cognitive, even though it's kind of, you know, there's this background, it's you know, like there's a police car somewhere over on the horizon. You've got the blue light flashing and you're aware the blue light's flashing, but you haven't really taken on that it's for you. Yeah.
Very true. Because I think that's the peripheral vision of ourself, not acknowledging it, a lot of things coming in. Again, what is all about emotional intelligence, isn't it? Because if you are emotionally aware of your own emotions, you can completely immerse and see the completely different perspective of everything in your life. Whatever comes to you, you will feel it, and you'll say whether it congruent with my feeling or not. If it does not congruent with your feeling, you are not going to pay attention to that. You'll just say, okay, I'll just acknowledge it and I'll let it go. Because if you are not completely self-aware of yourself, then you will be absorbing a lot of things and you are starting to get stressed most of the time. And you are not going to make the right decision at that time. I've been through my own journey with my first marriage, 17 years. I wasn't aware of a lot of things. Even I remember in my younger age, I went to this level of consciousness where I was intertwined with a lot of things. And I used to think about, if I had a thought, it used to happen. Just to have a thought of it. And I say, wow, what's happening? Because I was not completely immersed and aware of those things. And I was just contemplating on those things. And I remember those days, and people used to look at me and says, what sort of glow you have on you, mate? What you been doing? And I'll say, well, I'm just congruent with myself. And that was, this word congruence was not there. Immersed was not there. I was looking at completely differently.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree. And yes, emotional and spiritual intelligence are really useful capacities to develop, as well as developing in intuition. I mean, one of the things I do is that I'm a spiritual intelligence coach. So there, you know, some of what we ideally are able to do is that, as well as developing the capacity, we develop the relationship with the realm of spirit or the realm of the divine that allows us to be more kind of articulate with ourselves, more conscious in the way that we look at that information and the way that we look at what is, if you like, in harmony, what gets my choice into a place where it has congruence with the unfolding of the universe or the divine flow or whatever, you know, God's will, whatever words you might want to put on that realm, so that we're actually more, we're all well adapted to bring understanding to the relationship that we each with whatever our own conception of the divine is.
It is very true, very true. So, you know, everybody wants to be happy. So what is your definition of being happy?
Well, as you know, one of the kind of things that I have said provocatively is that happiness is a choice. And there's a number of things that sit below that statement. The first one I would draw people's attention to is most of us at least begin with, and many of us go all through our entire lives, with the notion that it's the external world that creates our happiness. And so we are, in effect, always at the effect of the world, always a kind of always a hostage to fortune in whether we believe that we can be happy or not. And so there is a realm of choice which is about, okay, recognize all of these things are going on, but as you have been speaking about, there is also a lot that people can do to be changing their inner state so that they are in a place of equanimity or potential happiness, regardless of what is going on. But then there's another level, which is that the reality that I came to see was how the universe really works is really quite upside down to the way that we have it presented to us. So the notion we are trained in and the notion that science presents is that whatever we're conscious of, it's a consciousness is a kind of an effect of the fact that we are material beings with a certain kind of brain, and that we are living in a universe which has its own life and which unfolds, and that we simply respond to. But then there's the other reality, which humanity has always known about in it, kind of in its bones, because people have been praying and worshipping for millennia. And there is this underlying sense that people have always had that it is possible for human beings to influence the unfolding of reality. Now, for many years, and well, even still, there, a lot of the ways that's presented is that it's kind of the capacity to do that is dependent on an external entity. So, you know, people will call God or various gods to.
Hi, my name is Sam Dosa, and my podcast called Chai with Sam Dosa. I invite guests from diverse background to have a heart-centered conversation with them about the journey of success and failure in their life or business. So join in for a more thought-provoking conversation, which you can listen and take some great lesson from it. Thank you. Bye for now.
Whom they pray, but they're waiting, in a way, they're waiting like somebody who sent their letter to Father Christmas to see whether the present's going to turn up. But the reality that is really the core nature of the universe is that the universe is being created by consciousness, and that consciousness includes us. You know, we are one drop in the ocean of consciousness, but we have an ability to put our wishes, our desires, our perceptions of what we would choose to create, that we can feed that into the ocean, and it affects particularly the little bit of the ocean that is around us, so the nearby drops. So when I talk about intuition, what we have in that realm is the notion that there is a connection, a communication that is coming into us that we receive from the world of consciousness. But what I'm saying is that that isn't a one-way street. Actually, we are also able to put our input into that relationship. So we are also able to contribute to the creation of our happiness by learning how to influence the unfolding of our reality, so that we are no longer victims, we're actually co-creators of our future.
Wow, indeed. I think you have a couple of areas which you have talk about is a lot of people, you know, whether you pray to your one God or you are praying to several entities, it's about how do you have a dialogue with them, because you are sending, you are praising them and you are sending a lot of things. And, you know, sometimes we as a human, because we are being limited to a lot of things to think about, because we are limited ourselves, we have the entire universe around us and showing us a lot of things in front of us. But because we limit ourselves, we don't see a lot of things. What I'm trying to articulate over here is when we request something to this universal light, we have to sit patiently instead of being what I call it anxious about that our request will be fulfilled very quickly, because it does not happen very quickly, because everything has been destined on the time, has been subject to happen. Nothing is going to shift. Let's say, for example, If I was supposed to die today, I'm going to die today. There's no way I can stop that happening. If something you request, you say, okay, I want to be a millionaire, it's not going to happen instantly. It does happen if you are lucky enough. You might win a lottery, but chances are it's not going to happen. You need to continuously going through that sort of realm of understanding that when you ask for something, you need to wait for it. You can't just acknowledge that, oh, today I ask my Lord, I should get my answer today. Then I'm not getting my answer today. I might go somewhere else and ask for them to do something for me. So I think because of human mind has a limitation, we can't wait. And we are just going one place to another place to get the request done. Why I'm going into more detail over here is, let's say for an example, I've learned very, in a way I learned this all things is my practical experiences. And I said to a lot of people, be careful what you ask for. Because the universal presence, the universal light, is the willingness is to give it to you, because that's what he is being, or universal light has been created to open your conscience. You ask for it and it'll give it to you. But then you have to be very careful what you ask for, because you can't return it back what you ask for, because once you receive it, it's yours, because the consequences you're going to bear with it. Then you can't say, I don't want it, because I remember a young couple had a child. They were very, very enthusiastic and very proud to be mother and father. And they have a child has a Down syndrome, and they can't cope with it. So, you know, sometimes you have to be thoughtful, because as a human, as I said, there is no limitation and there is no understanding and receiving those things. Right, left, and center, we ask so many things. And then the consequences comes to us. We'll say we don't want the consequences. We just need the happy things.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of paradoxes, I think, present in the fact that I completely get what you're saying about, you know, it's not a magic wand. You know, well, that's another thing that kind of exists out in the world as a thought form that, you know, if we were truly creative, well, you would just kind of, you know, and it would happen. And of course, you're completely correct. Also, it's also in the realm of possibility. You know, we can limit our own thinking and our own creativity, both by underestimating what is possible and by overestimating what is possible. So you have to find the place, I think, and part of what you're describing, the place of being to listen as well as to ask. I mean, this is why I talk about the kind of the two-way communication, because if you're listening, you are more likely to have the instinctive sense to ask for something which is harmonious and which the universe is capable of delivering in a shorter time frame. And if you're in a position, I mean, with prayer, there's kind of three positions that people get into. I'm going to oversimplify. But one is you can be the unworthy child and you can be begging. So you put yourself well below the relationship with the divine and you are disempowered. So whatever you're putting into the creative process actually doesn't have much oomph to it, because you've made yourself tiny. And then there's the other flip side of that is where you get the notion, and some of the things that are out there about kind of law of attraction and various ways of, it's like, well, you just have to get yourself in the right place and it will happen. So you become the boss of the universe. And I don't believe that is very real either, because that has no relation ship either. So the third position is actually being a kind of a responsible adult in relationship with the flow of creation, to where your listening and your asking are harmonized and synchronized and kind of dovetailed, so that it is a much more of a natural process. Anxiety, people have to deal with their anxieties when there's something that they want to happen soon. That's just something, you know, you have to keep working with, and everything you talk about with mindfulness is in that space. But underneath that, there are certain attitudes we can develop which have to do with the choice and the trust and the gratitude and the willing to let go, you know, to ask for something and then actually really let go, so that we aren't holding the way that it has to look when it shows up, that we're giving the universe space to give us the quality of what we're asking for without it necessarily looking a particular way. So an example I use of that is that lots of people get taught, well, when you're going to visualize something, when you want to create something, you should be very specific. So somebody wants a new car and they're programming for a BMW and they're visualizing a BMW and they're seeing a BMW. Well, there's no way that the universe can deliver them a Lexus when you're doing that. And they do this around relationships. Doing it around relationships is actually dreadful, because people have this picture, you know, let's say I actually recognize that over my life I've had an attraction for blondes. Okay, so suppose I'm programming that I want my perfect relationship, it has to be with a blonde. I am not going to see this absolutely wonderful woman who would fall in love with me and be everything that I could possibly want in my life, who happens to have dark brown hair. So, you know, we have to be intelligent about the way we use our relationship with the universe and what we ask for, and being in the quality of what we're asking for less than in the actual thing, that it's got to look, you know, this particular way.
I think there are a lot of NLP practitioners talk about the same thing. What we're talking about is to, when you visualize something, you go to the T of those things, and that things have started to happen. Sometimes what happens is somebody says to, within this course of NLP, somebody says, okay, I was looking for a yellow Mini because I wanted to buy a yellow Mini. But when I went outside, I don't see any yellow Minis because I was looking for a yellow Mini. And by the time I bought my yellow Mini from the showroom, by the time I came out from the showroom, I started seeing everywhere I see yellow Mini there. Because what you did, actually, you actually put your focus on one thing, which means your peripheral vision was switched off, because you were seeing just one thing at that time and only seeing that what you are looking for, you started to see, because other things which was already outside, you wasn't going to see it because you are just focusing on one thing, which is a good way of visualizing and achieving those results for yourself. But do you think we are abandoning a lot of other things which is happening around us as well?
Well, if somebody really wants a yellow Mini, then fine, you know, go for it. But a lot of the time, that doesn't work for people, because what they really want in their life, I mean, this comes back to the question about happiness. You know, what's going to make you happy? Is it going to be the person who has blonde hair because you've imagined that your perfect person has blonde hair? Or is it going to be somebody with whom you can have a really deep, loving relationship, regardless of whether they fit your picture? So, yellow Minis. Go to a showroom, or if you want a color and it doesn't exist, well, go out and buy a Mini and get it resprayed. I mean, there's all sorts of ways you can get exactly what you want if you want to be creative in the material world about it, but for the relationship with creating your own reality and getting the things that are going to feed the quality of your life that would lead to happiness, making it possible for the universe to have more ways than one of delivering it, I think is just smarter thinking.
True. So a question just popped in my head is, so the happiness is an inside job, not an outside job.
It's an inside job, both in the sense of how you react to what's on offer to you and in terms of how you have the perception of what does it take to create it.
Correct. Fantastic. So tell us, John, how people can connect with you.
Okay, so my website is www.accesstopossibility.net, and that will give you ways into some of the programs that I offer, and it's also where you can connect with my my blog, which I'm going to be doing a lot more of. And the other place to find me is through the Access to Possibility Facebook group, because I have a free product there. It's an ebook which kind of lays out the core ground rules of the message that I've been giving here, so that people can just get straight into it for themselves. I mean, if you really follow the precepts that I've laid out in the book, you wouldn't need anything else. That's Access to Possibility Facebook group, and the Seven Keys book is available there, and that's a kind of a quick way to connect with me and what I do.
Fantastic. So I will get all the information and I'll put it on the description so everybody can get all the information what you just talk about. So tell us about your hobbies.
I guess my biggest passion outside of the things that we're talking about, which have occupied a great deal of my life, is music. I was brought up in a family, about half of them in my ancestry were classical musicians.
Wow.
So that totally kind of surrounded me. It was all my mother's side of the family included, people who were professors at the Royal Academy and so on. And she was in one of the main London orchestras until we moved out of London. So that was my background, and I grew up with that, but I also expanded. I like all sorts of music, so I got into rock music and jazz, and I have quite a collection of all sorts of music, and I listen to music when I'm working, so it's that's really important.
Wow.
To me, that's my main hobby. I love lots of things. I read a lot. I love watching movies. There's a movie with a robot character in it. Number five, Short Circuit, it's called.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying, more input. And I'm a bit like number five. I like lots of input.
Everybody does a lot of input. So you like sci-fi movies, or you like any other particular movies? Sci-fi is one of the areas a lot of people interact, because it shows a completely different dimension, the way they are. Is there any other sort of movies you like?
Well, I like most kinds. I do love sci-fi movies, and I'm a I'm not a Trekkie to the point of obsession, but I love Star Trek, and I love the original Star Wars, which opened up this concept of the Force. You know, this was a real major input into the way that we see and feel and recognize the world. But I love relationship movies. I'm fascinated by people. I mean, you I'm sure would, as a coach, as somebody who's working with people, you're endlessly curious about kind of what's going on inside, what makes people do what they do, and how is it they're thinking. So I mean, you know, some of my work is based around something called spiral dynamics, and how do our perceptions of the world develop, and how do different people use the way they see the world in order to adapt to the conditions that they're in, so that our consciousness is very flexible and it changes in order to be best able to thrive in whatever the surroundings we're in. So, you know, that's another of my passions. I mean, I'm a trainer in spiral dynamics. I love this sense of how we grow and what the nature of that is. As you, I'm sure, I mean, you've talked about NLP. You know, there's all sorts of different ways of getting into those inner processes.
Yes. Amazing. Thank you, John, for your amazing talk and dimensions and wisdom, and a lot to digest, a lot to take in. Thank you very much for being my guest on my podcast, Chai with Sam Dosa. And I wish you all the best on your upwards journey. And wish you all the best in your inward journey. So have a fantastic rest of the day, and connect with you very soon. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.